Digital stance, getting firewalled ho, cause I'm riding the net in my 6-4. I was a dick with my 56. Now with my cable, I'm able to get that stable. On the out, my name is Ace and I'm a Leo. On the digital highway, my name is Neo and I'm a hero. In a flash, I'll school you on burning Dreamcast. You need some ISOs? Let me through my hard drive rifle. Our exchange you could never stifle. In a digital hug, you just caught the love bug. I bootlegged your CD. The fight between Un and Jay-Z. You see, G, it's all gonna be free. Whether we take it by force or we take it nicely. You feel that rattle in your bones when I tell you we just hacked Dow Jones? And NASDAQ leaves you flat on your back. Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack. Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack. This is dedicated to the hackers and the crackers. Serial codes, source codes, ISOs, RANs, zip, sits.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Binary Revolution Radio. I am Stank Dog here once again this week. Can't get rid of me that easily. And I am joined by a co-host this week who you may recognize by voice, certainly will recognize by name, but actually a first-time co-host, hopefully not the last time, Decoder, welcome to the show.
What's up?
Now, we have to start off the show, unfortunately, with some bad news. I got a couple emails, actually, and I went over to DEFCON.org to confirm and look at some of this, and it would appear that the hacking community has lost one of its members, and forgive me if I mispronounce this, but it's Gent or Ghent, G-H-E-N-T, apparently passed away recently, so, you know, I didn't know him personally, and I don't know if any of the listeners have, but, you know, anytime something bad happens like that, it's you know, we don't want wish anything like that on anybody. So I want to pass that news along. And you can go to DEFCON.org and check out. There's some tributes there and find out more information and contact information if you want to make a donation or something like that. So, unfortunately, we have to start off with bad news like that. And other than that, really, I'm going to jump into what I've been doing here this past week. Speaking of emails, beginning of the month, we closed up the submissions for BinRev 1.3. So if you wanted to get submissions in, that was the time. Actually, I am a tiny bit behind. If you want to slip some in at the last minute, you might get it through. I can't guarantee that. But I am in the process right now of going through and editing articles and selecting the articles that we're going to use. And I've already contacted Logan about starting on the layout very soon. So I will, technically, we're pretty much clean, but if you were to send something in by, say, this weekend, your 2600 meeting weekend, if you've got something you want to send in by that weekend, I will possibly be able to consider it 1.3. If not, it'll definitely be considered for 1.4. Or actually, 2.1, I guess. We're beginning next year, so I guess we'll go into 2.1. So anyway, if you want to send something in, we might be able to get it in this issue, but possibly more likely would be for next issue. And actually, I should also mention, Hack and Slash has been writing the show notes, and I wanted to thank him again on the air. He's been writing the notes every week. Like, the day that I put the show up, I get the show notes immediately in email, so I want to give a big thanks to him again. And I guess he can put that in the show notes that I thanked him. He'll put that in there, I'm sure. And that's really all I have to start off with. We have a lot of stories we want to talk about today, and we had a big announcement today. We are actually recording just before we stream right now, and we just found out, well, maybe, Decoder, why don't you tell them what we just found out?
H2K4 has been confirmed.
Woot!
By 9th to the 11th, Hotel Pennsylvania, same as last time.
So my job tomorrow is to ask off from work. I'm going to plan my vacation ahead of time, and I know, yeah, several people on the forums have talked about meeting up and getting together. I know a lot of us at DDP were going to try to hook up. So I've never been to New York. Now, if I come up to New York, you know, I want to go up and do the touristy things as well. I want to go to the World Trade Center. I want to go to Central Park. I want to go do all that kind of silly stuff, man. You going to hook me up with that?
Yeah, of course.
You going to take me down to the best, how about Scores? You going to take me to Scores?
Oh, that's where you want to go, right?
I said the tourist attractions. I meant it.
That's the main tourist attraction.
Exactly, exactly. Wall Street, all that silly kind of stuff. I want to do that. So I might actually take a week off or something and go up there and do some of that kind of silly stuff and then go to the con. Now, I think you told me you did not go to H2K2. Is that correct?
No, I actually was not in New York at that time. Couldn't make it.
So we really don't know, well, at least other than hearsay stories from other people, what to expect. I have never been before, so I don't know what to expect.
Drinking.
Lots of drinking?
That's what I'm going to be doing.
Well, you know, you don't have to wait for H2K4 to do that.
Extra drinking.
Yeah. They haven't announced the official title of it yet. I mean, we're calling it H2K4 because they haven't come up with a name yet. They just announced that they're even doing it here, you know, 6 months, is it, before it starts. So technically, they're only going to get to advertise in one issue of 2600 magazine for this thing, so it's going to be all word of mouth.
Word of mouth, news on the website.
Exactly. So it's going to be interesting to see how this works out. I wonder if they how many presentations and stuff they have lined up.
Well, I've heard about one or two, but
yeah, I think
as far as particulars, you know, not really sure.
It's awful short notice. I hope they get enough stuff going on. I'm still curious as to. See, I'm planning on also hopefully going to DEF CON next year. And once I've been to both of them, I'll kind of maybe get a better understanding of the differences between, because I've heard a lot of positive and negative things about both of them. And I don't know which one I would prefer or which one is, you know, how different they are. You haven't been to DEF CON either?
No, I haven't been to DEF CON, but, you know, I guess Vegas, New York, depending on where you want to be.
I guess that's true, but I'm sure someone will email me and correct me for saying this, but I get the impression that DEF CON is more of the drinking, partying kind of con. I think they have a lot more fun, per se, whereas H2K4 is a little bit more...
more serious.
Yeah, a little bit more on presentations, a little bit more about knowledge. And I would suspect, I don't think this is a faux pas for me to say this, I would suspect that there's a lot of younger people there.
At H2K4?
Yeah. I would imagine a lot of younger people or people who aren't old enough to legally drink. I would think there'd be a lot more people. Yeah, I would think there'd be a lot more people like that at the 20. Not that there's anything wrong with it, but, you know, I would expect that might be there, so therefore less of a emphasis on drinking. So, and partying. Well, I guess you can party without drinking. Let's not tie those two together.
Well,
we don't want to open that bag.
I always say, you know, everything's an excuse to drink.
Well... For legally legal adults, well,
must be over 21.
Exactly. We sound like a beer commercial now. Oh man. Well, that is going to be interesting. I can't wait for that. And plus, a lot of you guys are up in that area, so I can't wait to meet some of you guys and go around and check out New York. I know it sounds kind of corny to say that, but I've never been on a subway in my life.
To go do some UE in the subway.
Yeah, exactly. I want to go down there and see what kind of cool stuff I can find, man. I gotta go tag down in the subways.
Bring your spray paint.
Exactly. If I get caught with that, will I be able to make it out of jail and home to be able to go home end of the week?
Stay in jail a night or something.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
No big deal.
Mm-hmm. Well, there we go. I foresee DDP was here in the future somewhere on the walls. Oh wait a minute! Damn it! Did I just? I probably just.
Incriminated yourself.
Exactly.
If they see that, they're going to come straight to you. Thanks.
I'm just saying, potentially, possibly, if that were to happen, it would not be from me. It absolutely could not happen from me.
Just a fan of the show, right?
Yeah, exactly. I can't control these crazy fans. I don't. You know what? If they go out there and do this kind of stuff,
I mean, you could discourage it, but as far as they're going to do what they want to do anyway.
Exactly. Absolutely. So. That still doesn't cover me legally. I've already screwed up. But that's all right. We're going to go with it. Actually, we're going to go into... You want to jump into some news topics here? Did you want to talk about anything else with H2K4?
Oh, not really. It was just that news item on the site. No name for it yet. Just released today, you know?
Yeah, and I know some people had told me that it was going to be coming. Like, I think Epiphany had mentioned it, that he heard rumors and in theory, and some of the other people had told me that... They had heard rumblings of it at the New York 2600 meeting, and friends of friends have said, "Oh, it's going to happen. We just don't have a name yet." Maybe that's why they took so long. They didn't give it a name yet, and they were trying to come up with a clever name.
Yeah, maybe a couple of months back, people were just saying it's a rumor. You know, it's not going to happen. How H2K2 was announced like a year and a half advance.
Right. Exactly.
And then slowly, just started getting more and more people saying, "Look, you know, I've been hearing on the inside, it's going to happen."
Well. According to 2600.com, it is official. So, if they bump it back or postpone it or something, that's really, I'd be pissed.
What do you got, 8-9
months? Serious. I'm going to go and ask off of work this far in advance to make sure that there's no problems and no second guessing that I asked off of work. So, I hope they don't change anything. I hope this is true on short notice. Hey, I guess we'll find out.
Time will tell.
Exactly. Let's talk about, this is probably the funniest thing, at least to me, and I maybe it's just a me thing. I laugh at stupid shit sometimes. Damn it, I did it. I said a bad word. I said I wasn't going to, and I did it anyway. Well, there's going to be a lot coming up on the next topic after this one, but this topic is some news from Amazon.com, one of our personal favorite sites. They have added a new feature here in the past week or so where, and actually this is, I should rephrase, they changed this feature. They added probably 6 months or more ago the ability to look inside at a couple sample pages of books. So you could kind of get a feel to see how it was written, see if it had what you wanted in it. It would let you look at, like, the table of contents and maybe a first few pages or something, some samples, to see if it's the one you want. Well, they got rid of that, and they kind of changed it now, where you can view pages from pretty much any book. And the way you did it before was you would search, you would find the book that you wanted, and then there was a little icon or something that said "See Inside," and you'd click on that, and it would load PDFs, and you could, like I said, look at a page or two sample. Well, now they actually integrated the contents of all of the books into the search engine, so you can put in a string and search for that string, and it will not only search titles, authors, keywords, stuff like that, but it will actually search the strings in the books, and your search results will be weighted by those as well as the other things I just mentioned, keywords, titles, stuff like that. So the difference is that now you have to give them, well, I'm jumping ahead of myself. Basically, I'm curious as to how they're able to do this, because they are putting up, and it's somewhat like the music industry. You have several different record labels with people signing under all the different labels, and each label has their own rules, and they want their money, and they're not going to give permission. What one label does, the other one may not. Well, it's the same thing with publishing companies and books and magazines. They're published by different publishing companies, and I find it a major coup if they've pulled off the ability and gotten permission from all the authors of all these different books to allow you to go in there and read a few pages of their book and giving them authorization to view copywritten material. Ironic in a way that they give it to Amazon, but they won't to public consumers. But I'm going to back off of that topic.
Well, Amazon sells the books for them.
Well, true, but if I mention a book on the radio right now, you don't think that that might potentially be advertising for them, that someone could go buy that book? If I say, hey, go buy Defensive Thinking, Kevin Mitnick, you know, you don't think that's a good endorsement to go buy a book?
Well, yeah, of course it's a good endorsement. You're going to read half the book, though, on the air?
Well, no, but I might read some sample pages or a few lines or at least discuss details of what it's about, which is kind of the point of what Amazon's doing, to let you sample it and kind of feel it out. And even so, look at we in BenRev magazine. We print book reviews, and we print the cover. We show the cover of the book and some description of what it's about, a review. You know, it's I have to get permission to do all that kind of stuff.
Really?
Yeah. So they have done it with everybody, every publisher. That's amazing. That's a major accomplishment there, I have to say.
You got to figure Amazon must be making these people a lot of money.
Yeah, that's true, and
give them that sort of
keep that thought in mind for later on in the show. That's a little forewarning. There's a little hint for you. What I'm wondering is if there's a way to exploit this. Like, the old way that this happened was that you would click on it and say "See Inside," and it would load PDF pages, embedded PDF files, and I think it's still doing that to a certain extent. But now it's hidden them a little bit better. It's putting them in the code. They're dynamically assigned. But I'm still wondering, it would take some time and digging as to how they're doing it, but I'm wondering if it would be possible to write a script or something to find all of the pages in a book. If you knew, I guess you'd have to know quite a few of the words of the book, though, or quite a few, not sure exactly how to go about doing it. But I bet you it is technically possible for you to write a script to go out there and download and save all the pages and reconstruct the entire book.
Takes a lot of work.
Yeah, would it be easy? I don't know. I don't know about that without looking more into it, but an interesting concept nonetheless. And if somebody were to do that, I bet you Amazon would lose their publishing rights to the copyrighted material.
You wouldn't be able to search key phrases out of the books anymore.
Well, you know, speaking of searching key phrases out of the books, that's exactly what I did. That's exactly what I did. You know, being the hacker that I am, the inquisitive mind, when I realized that you could search key words and key phrases, actual literal strings from the book, I went out and searched, you know, quote the Raven Nevermore. You know, I went out and searched quotes from 1984 to see if they would come up. But then my mind turned, as it always does, and you know what, it's probably better to just play these for you, and you'll see what I mean. Check these out.
In one movement, she undid his trousers and brutally extracted his member. There was an answering gasp from him. Then he smashed her handbag to the floor, spilling out its contents.
I had just started getting dressed when she walked into the bedroom. She was totally naked. Except for magazines, this was the first time I had ever seen a nude woman. We laid down on the bed and she began rubbing her hand all over my body.
He gathered the waist of her panties in his fist and drew her to the bed. She fell back, and he pulled down her panties with both hands, tossing them to her face. She shook them away, sighing, opening her eyes and seeing him, naked, hunkering beside her.
Alright, what did you think about that decoder?
Yeah, you know, I knew that's what your mind would turn to.
Well, of course, my mind, if it's not on hacking, it's on porn.
That's right.
Even if it's on hacking, it's always also on porn.
Porn hacking.
Exactly. Now, I actually picked some very mild statements, some mild recordings from there.
Yeah, I noticed that.
There is some much, much more obscene stuff out there. And I'm not talking about the definition of obscene. I'm talking about there's some bad language, some very naughty thoughts and visuals. What I did now was simply take the text that Amazon gave me and plug them into one of those voice synthesizing tools and had them read them aloud. So that's what you heard. You don't get that directly from Amazon. There is actually, before anybody goes, I'm sure listeners listening to this live might have already shot off to Amazon right now and are playing with the same thing, but let me forewarn you that you do have to give, you have to have an Amazon account and have a credit card on file. You have to have a valid credit card. There's no charges or anything to it, but if you have a credit card on file, I guess that's how somehow they justify allowing you to view the copywritten material. Maybe because what I said earlier, somebody could write a script that would go through there as anonymous or just, you know, DOS, just pound away at it. I shouldn't say DOS, should just pound away at it through brute force and pull stuff out. So I guess that's one level.
You do that on your credit card.
Yeah, there's just one level of control probably that they've implemented. Once you log in, if you have the valid credit card, it stays in your session. You don't have to redo it every time you want to look at a page. And that's the way a lot of adult sites work. Not that I would know. I'm only going on what Decoder told me. That's the way a lot of adult sites work. They figure you got to be 18 to have a credit card. So they make you put in a credit card number sometimes just to prove your age limit. Isn't that what you were telling me before the show?
Oh, yeah, of course. Sometimes they charge you a dollar.
Ah, see?
Stick it on there.
Exactly. So I don't know if that was their intent. I don't know if they were trying to keep kids out because, like I said, there is that material there that might be questionable. Or did they just want to force people into adding a credit card to their account? You know, the more likely you are to create, once you have an account, and once you have a credit card there, frankly, you're that much more likely to order from them because a lot of the work's already done, the hassles, you just click on one click buy, and I really think that was their intent. I think that's their intent. Once they got your credit card and stuff on there, you're that much more tempted to click on things and buy them quickly and easily, whereas if you were to go to another site, you would have to re-enter in a lot of that information, and I'm thinking that might have been their mindset more than protecting children from the... I don't even think they probably thought about prawn, do you?
No, I don't think so. I think it just comes down to the money.
Yeah, I don't think it ever crossed their mind. I think it's pure coincidence. Now, one thing that is not coincidence, and I used one bad word earlier, I don't know if I'm going to be able to control anymore, because my good friends at VeriSign are back at it again. Now, I gave them an honorary double award. Was it last episode or episode before last?
A couple episodes ago, three.
Yeah, that. Oh, they're complete jerks. That's my good word. That's my not swearing word. That is, they're complete jerks. It's so hard to say that too. To refresh your memory, they tried to. Okay, they had a feature called Site Finder. Now, I know a lot of this is repetitive. We talked about it before, but just to bring everyone up to speed, I'll give you the short version. They had something called Site Finder. We talked about it on the earlier episode, but like I said, it is basically their, quote, service to the community. That was a service that helps, in quotation marks again, it helps you find sites if you misspell a word or enter an incorrect address. So this is a service that they're providing to the internet community as whole.
Thank them.
Yeah, we should be thanking them, right? We should be thanking them. Well, ICANN didn't agree. ICANN shut them down or put them in an injunction that made them stop temporarily. But they're trying something else now. Like that wasn't enough. Like that wasn't enough for them. They're going on with something else. The biggest thing about them pulling any move is that, first and foremost, they're a business. They're trying to make money. They're in it to make money. Yet, I don't think anybody could argue that VeriSign is not a complete monopoly. Now, yes, they've been broken up so that other registrars can register .com and .net, but they are the one and only global registrar. They have access and all knowledge and massive databases of every .com and .net on the Internet. So I don't know that it could even be debated whether or not they're a monopoly. Well, they have co-authored something called the Web Services Policy, and it's supposed to define the way that web service providers can show their requirements and capabilities. Web service meaning the direction that applications are moving is that they're going to start delivering a lot of content and a lot of programming and information over the Internet. So a web service provider who's trying to contact customers might have a hard time because of the vast expanse that is the Internet. Well, VeriSign is trying to be the middleman, the broker, the agent. It's probably the best word, the agent. They want to be to be able to verify the claims made by the service providers. They want to be the broker or the controller of this, again, service. They love giving us great service, don't they?
Always helping us out.
They want to be the central signing authority. So they want to be, it's basically they're touting it as though it's a security feature. They're going to be a signing authority that says, oh, we hereby authorize that so-and-so can do this. We hereby authorize that these are the requirements of that. Did we not learn our lessons with these guys and girls? These idiots, these jerks. Did we not learn their lesson with them with the Site Finder? I mean, it's sickening. This is another attempt at taking advantage of their existing database, which, again, I don't know how they end up being the one and the global one with all that power and information, but something has to be done. Well, the Site Finder I mentioned earlier, let me throw some statistics at you in case you think, lest you think I was over-exaggerating this when I gave them that award recently, unless you think this is a minor inconvenience or annoyance, let me tell you what the bottom line on this is. Let me tell you the effects that this had. And I'm not talking about the effects of how it jammed up a bunch of people's email filtering and how it suddenly all bad addresses became valid ones because you got the Site Finder service help, you know. Let me tell you the bottom line on this, and it's the bottom line of everything else. They're a business, and they're trying to make money. Before they started Site Finder service, they ranked, VeriSign.com ranked 135th on the overall traffic list. According to Media Matrix, that's a web traffic analysis firm. 135th. That's nothing. That's nothing. Ben Rev is 134th. Okay, I'm lying. I made that up. But still, 135th is nothing, especially considering that they're the global who is. They're the place you go to if you want to find out information about sites and look up registration information. 135th is, fine. Well, they activated Sight Finder. 2 weeks. Only 2 weeks before they finally got an injunction that said, hey, cut it out. For 2 weeks, they had the Sight Finder up that intercepted every mistype, every misspelling, and provided this wonderful service to its users, because that's what it's all about, providing service and help to the users of the Internet.
Just want to help us, you know?
That's all they want to do. And for 2 weeks, they helped us. Oh, and conveniently, they helped themselves jump from 135th, 2 weeks, mind you, not even the full month, 2 weeks, jumped from 135th to 11th. 11th most visited site on the Internet for 2 weeks of Site Finder.
That is insane.
Now, let me remind you that there's advertising and click-throughs, and they make money every time somebody hits Site Finder. They jumped a staggering 120 points? Come on, you've got to be kidding me. 124 points with 2 weeks of traffic. What if that would have gone the full month?
It would have been number one.
I mean, I don't see how they couldn't have been. I would love to see. I know I wouldn't. I would love to see them get a boot in their ass. That's what I'd love to see. Darn it, I did it. I knew I couldn't resist.
You know what their slogan is, right?
Please enlighten me.
The value of trust.
Well, you know, when I think of Internet, when I think of trust, I think of VeriSign.
Me too. I don't know how you couldn't.
Well, exactly. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I meant mistrust. I'm sorry. That was my mistake. You know who? Let me put it in perspective for people. Do you know what 11th on the list of most visits is? You know who your company is on that? You're in company with Disney. Disney.com. Now, you know that's a huge one. You know tons of Disney gets tons of hits. Amazon.com. You mentioned earlier. I told you that would come back later in the show. Amazon.com. is up there around 12, 13, somewhere like that. That's up there with the Disneys and Amazons of the Internet. VeriSign.com? Are you kidding me? SiteFinder? Come on. Now, if they would have gone for a full month, like you said, they could have been number one. They would have easily been in the top five, but they very well could have been number one. Now, could any other company have done that? Is there any other company that you can think of that could have made that leap in a period of 2 weeks, and possibly jumped up to the number one in a period of a month? Is there any other company on the planet that could do that?
Non-porn?
Porn included.
Porn included?
Porn included. There is no porn in the top 10.
Really?
Yep.
Surprising.
There is no porn in the... Yeah, that is surprising, but still. I'm sure that there are several in probably in the top 100, but you know.
Between 11 and 135, they had to wade through a lot of porn.
Exactly. I think you're right. No other company can do it. That is the absolute definition of a monopoly.
Who gave these guys authority?
Whoever, they need to take the authority away. That's the whole problem. If we can't trust them, we can't trust them with the Site Finder and with just shutting up and doing their job as a registrar. How can we trust them to be the central signing authority for web service providers? It's ridiculous. I tell you what, I'm gonna put you on the spot here. It's not very much. It's pretty, actually, you'll probably get a couple, you might get all five of these. Do you know what the top five most visited sites on the Internet are?
Google's got to be one of them.
All right, Google is one of them. Google is actually number five.
That's number five?
Number five is Google.
No porn in the list? Oh, you said that before.
No porn on the list.
Yahoo
is number three. Number three. You'll slap yourself in the head when I tell you.
Tell me number one.
I tell you what. No, I'll tell you number four. Let's go up the list.
All right.
Google was number five. Number four, eBay.
Oh, okay, yeah.
eBay, yeah, exactly. See, when you hear them, it's like, oh yeah, of course. Number three, you said Yahoo. Powered by Google, ironically, so that's basically double the hits for Google. But number two, oh, I just love to say these words. I love the way they roll off my tongue. AOL Time Warner.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, you know, how can they not be? You know, they force that page on every AOL user, not to mention every AIM user.
Send you a disc in the mail every 2 days.
You know, and they probably count, if you use AIM and it has that little ad up at the top of AIM, they probably count those as hits or something, knowing them. And number one, you know, take another guess again. Think about it again.
Nothing to do with Microsoft?
There you go, Microsoft.
Has to be it.
Number one site. And that makes clear sense, too, because all the operating systems it defaults to, I don't know if that includes MSN or if it's just Microsoft.com. It just says the company name, so I don't know if that includes all of them. I would imagine it does.
They're probably their entire family.
Exactly, because every time you have that IE, it defaults to MSN.com.
Mail.
You know, every Windows update you go to, Hotmail, exactly.
And this is the fine company that VeriSign found themselves in.
Exactly.
Yep.
Exactly. They could have leapfrogged right on up there. They could have been comfortably sandwiched in between Microsoft and AOL. What great company to be in. We love you, VeriSign. Ah, oh, God, I hate VeriSign.
If you want to see a cool picture, www.fuckverisign.com.
Ooh. We're not talking about fuckverizon.com.
No.
VeriSign.com.
Yeah.
All right, we'll have to check that out. I'm sure our listeners are scampering to that right now. I don't think there's really anything more that needs to be said. I think everybody knows what a bunch of idiots these people are. Do not give them any more power. Do not give them any more responsibility. Push them to the side. Start putting limits on what they can do and what they have access to. And hell, investigate them, for God's sakes. They're a monopoly. They are a monopoly, plain and simple. So don't give them more power. Take it away from them.
Right.
Just take it away. Don't give them anything else. They can't handle the responsibility that they have. They just they did that out of the blue.
Yeah, just one day.
They just said, hey, I know what we can do. Let's screw the internet as a whole and all of its users.
It's the value of trust.
Oh, God.
Just got to trust them. Well, they're providing us a service.
You know, yeah, maybe I don't know what's good for me. Maybe they know what's good for me better than I do.
That's it.
I may think that it's an annoyance to have that site up. And yeah, it may just pretty much screw up all of my filtering software. Anything that depends on return codes. See, they miss this whole idea of return codes. From a programming standpoint, you have to depend on return codes, good or bad. And when you get a return code that the site is bad, you have programs that revolve around that. And suddenly, oops, it's not bad anymore. Sorry, we single-handedly screwed up every piece of software that you've ever written. Oh, God.
They mentioned something about that in their little FAQ on their website.
You know, it's like, I think that had a bigger effect than any Y2K bug ever could have.
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
And they still want to do it. That's the other thing. They haven't let go. They're still fighting. They think that they're entitled. They think they're allowed to do that. I can't stop them. They were given an injunction to take it offline because of the damage that it was done. They didn't clear it with anyone or authorize it with anyone. They didn't have to. They're VeriSign. They didn't have to authorize it with anyone. Well, they were told to take it down. They did, but they still are fighting to bring it back up. They're trying to go through the system and force and say, we're allowed to do this, we are allowed to make money, other companies do this, blah, blah, blah. You know, and I mentioned when we talked about this in the previous show, sure, Microsoft does this. If you misspell something, it searches Microsoft.com on your behalf. You might not even know it sometimes. You set up a default search engine in IE, and it goes there and searches anytime you misspell or something like that. But at least you have control over that. You can go in there and change the search engine. You can go in there and take it out if you really wanted to and not have it searched by if you misspell something. But you don't have that kind of control when VeriSign takes it upon themselves to change the infrastructure of the fucking internet. Oh, I couldn't help. I couldn't do it.
It's not just your browser with whatever browser you're using or anything else.
Ugh.
What you're doing, you're going to see VeriSign.
If VeriSign really thinks they can do this and get away with it, I mean, they're dumber. They're dumber than a sack of hammers. I don't know what else. Anyway, let's move on to something that's not going to make me cuss. This actually kind of makes me laugh. This has been talked about in the forums, and it's not necessarily new news, but Valve has sprung a leak. Valve, of course, are the people that make Half-Life, the video game, I guess, computer game. Is the proper terminology to call it video game, or is that only referred to, like, the arcade stand-up things?
I'm old school. I call it a video game.
Yeah, I do, too. I'm wondering if I'm going to get You know what, I'm going to ask C4 and the guys over at Gamer, am I allowed to say video game and referring to a PC game, or do I have to differentiate these days? I don't know what's the proper etiquette there. But anyway, the game Half-Life. Someone hacked into the server, apparently, and stole some of the source code. And it's been circulating on the web for, I don't know, what has it been, a month now? Maybe longer?
Yeah, a little bit over a month.
Over a month? And I haven't seen any binaries anywhere yet, have you?
No, not at all.
I haven't seen anybody compile it or get it working or anything like that, so, frankly, I don't know what the... I mean, I guess I know what the big deal is. I'm not condoning what happened or anything like that, you know, breaking into the server and stealing the source code. But I haven't really seen any damage per se. And I think they overblown, like every other company that gets hacked into, they probably blew it out of proportion what happened. They might have gotten a couple little modules. Obviously not enough to compile the whole game because it's not out there yet. So we don't know what they got. I've seen some of the code floating around. I don't know the details of how much it covers and what it does, but I don't think it's such a big deal. Now, I get a magazine called Game Developer Magazine, yet another one that I subscribe to, one of the many, and the editorial this issue, I think it's quarterly, the editorial this issue was about Valve and about people stealing the source code, and, you know, like I said, I don't guess there's really much debate on that. If someone broke into their server, now, I would debate that if you had it that insecure to begin with, you kind of were asking for it. I'm not condoning it, but I'm saying I understand it. You kind of did something stupid, and now you're paying the price for it. But the editor of this magazine wrote this whiny editorial about anybody who looks at that code is stealing now.
Anyone who just looks at it.
Anybody who looks at it now. If you're a third, fourth party removed, somebody comes in and posts it in the forums, if you find it on another FTP site somewhere and look at it, that you are in turn stealing. Now, I don't know. This could be an interesting debate. I don't know really how to address that topic. Is that stealing?
I wouldn't say that that's stealing. Just looking at it?
Yeah.
The person who took it is stealing.
Well, and that's like I said, I agree with that. The original person who took that is probably stealing. Again, I can understand it. I'm not saying it was justified, right or wrong, or anything like that, but, I mean, let's just call it like it is. Now, once it's out there, and I'm not going to repeat, everybody knows my favorite saying about the horse, but once it's out there, you can't stop it. And that's something the MPAA and the RIAA haven't figured out yet. Once it's out there, it's going to spread. And for you to sit there and call everybody that might look at that code, I'm just curious now that it's out there. I'm like, hey, it's out. Why not look at it?
That's right.
I'm curious. I want to see what it's about. Let me see. I've seen the demos of it. It's a phenomenal engine. Phenomenal. I mean, just jaw-dropping. I don't know if you've seen the demo that's circulating, but it's amazing. And I'm going to buy, no matter what happens, no matter if there's a free, somebody compiles it and whatever, I'm going to buy Half-Life 2 the day it comes out. Undoubtedly. It's incredible.
Yeah, from just looking at it.
Absolutely incredible. I want to learn. I want to see how it was written. I want to see what it does. I don't have the time or the energy or the know-how, frankly, to take the code and write my own game and steal it. First of all, I wouldn't do that. You know, it is not intended to be open source. It became open source accidentally, but it wasn't intended to be. So I don't know. That's interesting. If anybody has a different opinion or wants to write in and mention or talk about that, by all means, send us a letter, letters@binrev.com. But I don't like a magazine editor calling me a thief. That's what I don't like.
He's a moron.
Exactly. I mean, I saw only like a little bit of a one code of one module, and I could hardly tell what it was. I could tell what it was doing, but I couldn't follow the details of how it was doing it. So I don't think that makes me a thief. You know, I'm just trying to learn.
Now you're a thief.
I think. I don't know. You cross the line of being a thief or stealing if you actually try to use that code. I think there should be that you can't prove intent. You know, intent is just such a difficult word to define.
Well, my
intent is
to work. You know.
Yeah, my intent is to learn.
Yeah, exactly.
My intent is to see what it's all about. My intent is not to use it for my own gains. You know, here's where I would see, here's what I would call somebody stealing or call, say, somebody crossed the line. If they took all that source code and were selling CDs on the internet of it.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's
or compiling it.
Making money off of it.
Exactly.
With all this, with MP3s and movies and everything else. If you're not making money off of it, I don't see what the big deal is, you know?
Yeah, well, you know, and that's just, I guess because so many of us just have that open source mindset. You know, I mean, I can feel for them. You should have secured your server better, frankly.
Yeah, their shit's not locked down, you know.
You know, you really should have secured it better that somebody waltzed right in and took it. I feel for you that it was stolen, but I, you know, again, I understand. I say you kind of brought it on yourself for doing it half-assed, and you get what you pay for. You know, you get what you deserve. That's not condoning it. Don't misunderstand. Here's a very fine line between them.
Nobody secures anything until they get hacked.
Yeah, and yeah, what's done is done. It's done. It's over with. Now they've also released a couple statements here and there, whining themselves about, oh, now we're going to push back the due date, and we're going to push back the release date. We're not going to come out on time, and we have to rewrite all this and that. No, why?
Yeah, for what reason? To make it look different from what's already out there now?
It's just to make it look worse, make it look like, you know, they probably were going to postpone it anyway. It's already been postponed a couple times.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think it's been, you know, I think it's behind schedule already, and now they just have an excuse to push it back further. Although I think I also heard recently that they reneged on that and said they are going to release it on time after all, but I don't know. Anyway, somebody I'm sure can write in and correct me on that. But the other thing is, hell, why not release it as early as possible before people do decompile it and start coming up with it? The sooner you release it, people are going to be like, why am I going to bother trying to work and bust my ass to compile this when I can buy it now?
Well, the problem with that is that would make sense.
Well, and you know, so many companies seem to miss that.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Well, and here, this editor in the magazine, which is why I brought this up, this editor, she mentioned, I don't know, see, any of these real-world analogies, these metaphors, they never work out right. She likened it to finding a wallet full of money on the street.
Okay, and how does that make everyone else stealing?
Exactly. It's like, okay, so first of all, you're talking about finding something as opposed to A, going in and stealing something from a server, or B, somebody giving you code after it's been circulated on the net. So it's not even always going to be the same, you know. So first of all, that's a little peculiar right there. If I find money in the street, I have to say I am a pretty honest person. If I find money, I'm going to look around and try to find out who it belongs to. I would. Well, depending on how much money was in there, of course. But
oh, yeah.
No, for the most part, I would try to find out who it is. I mean, you find it in a restaurant, you're going to give it to the restaurant and say, hey, somebody might have left this in here. I found this under the table, something like that. I'm honest. I've done it before. You know, it's
guys in the restaurant will just take it so you can feel better about yourself.
Well, true. There you go. There you go. But you're off the hook. But this is not, that's a terrible metaphor because that is a physical thing. That is a wallet. That is a thing of money. What am I supposed to do? Email Valve and go, hey, look what I found. Here's all your code. Here, I'm going to mail it all back to you.
Yeah, right. I mean,
I can't return it. It's out there.
They can't make these real-world analogies.
Exactly. The internet, they have to change their way of thinking. This is not the old world. All these old laws and mindsets of how things work and all these analogies people want to make, they don't work anymore. It's a whole different thing. Okay, I find the code somewhere and I email it back to Valve. What does that solve? The wallet, I can give back to the person. They have all their stuff back, their driver's license, their money, minus a few dollars finder fee, all their personal information. They get all that stuff back. What does Valve get back? It's too late.
Yeah, the damage is done. I mean, I don't know what they expect to happen, you know?
I don't either. So, I didn't appreciate that editorial too much. I thought it was a waste, and I think, once again, they're trying to use hackers as a scapegoat. Now, at the same time, I can see that there's some validity there because someone did break into their server. And I don't belittle that. I don't undermine that. So, I guess somewhat hackers brought a bad name on themselves for doing it, but they don't need to make it worse. anyway.
What magazine was this again?
I'm sorry?
What magazine was this again?
This editorial? It's called Game Developer Magazine.
Game Developer.
Right. Which, ironically, posts bits and pieces of source code to some games in it as examples. Which, they might have released more code than was stolen.
Most likely. But then again, they sell games.
Well, yeah. They sell magazines. I don't know if they sell games.
But you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Advertising and everything else.
Well, yeah, they definitely do that.
That's where the money's at.
Yeah. Well, and like I said, I'm going to buy Half-Life 2. Undoubtedly. I've seen I forgot, you said you did or did not see the demo for that?
I have not seen it yet.
I mean, the physics model in this game is amazing. Amazing. Gosh, I wish I had a URL to give out. Maybe by the time the show notes come out or by the time we put this up for upload, I'll find a URL to the demo, to the AVI, that shows off some of the features. The engine itself, the lighting modules, the rendering, and again, the biggest thing to me was the physics model. It's amazing the way they put in, I guess for lack of a better word, traps. There are places where, like, there'll be an alleyway, and it's reminiscent of the scene from Indiana Jones where the boulder comes rolling down at them. You can, in this game, set those kind of things up or see that they're already set up for you, and you see a bunch of whatever enemies down in the alleyway, and instead of going down and having a big firefight like typical with most games, you may notice that there's a fire escape that's hanging loose, so you try to shoot the bolt that's holding it together and drop it on their heads. There was one that was like a pachinko machine, if you know what that is, where you knock out one peg and all of a sudden all these barrels start falling down. And there's a real-world physics model by which they fall. And it's just amazing the things that you can do. You have to play angles and it just adds such an element of strategy to the game. And you can pick things up, heavy things, boxes, stuff like that. In the demo, you'll see a thing with a mattress that's incredible. And you can take this mattress and throw it on somebody and trap them under it because it's too heavy. It's the thing where the mattress hits the water and floats on the water for a little while, begins to soak water up, and then sinks. It's a full real-world physics model, and it's incredible. It's incredible, and I'm going to buy it the day it comes out. Well, maybe not the day it comes out, but pretty quickly after it comes out. And I'm not even a big gamer.
Yeah, I'm going to have to check this out now.
Yeah, it's very... I'll find a URL somewhere and post it into the show notes. And, you know what? That's probably a good stopping point. Did you have anything else you wanted to add to any of those? I didn't mean to just keep right on talking nonstop, but I have a tendency to do that.
I think we pretty much covered everything.
Yeah.
On those points.
There is one thing, actually, I want to close out the show with. There's been a lot of... I don't even know how to properly word this, actually. There's been a lot of people lately who've posted in the forums and are having real-world problems. Myself included. I mean, I've talked about my job situation on the show before, and, you know, it's frustrating, but you got to go on with your day-to-day lives and everything. And there's people in the forums, I know, especially some of the people that are still in high school or even college, that have bad days, I guess. No other way to put it. It's very important to separate your life online or your existence online. A forum is just a forum. You know, there's more to life than a hacking forum. There's more to life than a hacking radio show. There's more to life than even life itself sometimes. And people lately, I'm just kind of concerned as people who are getting down about their real-world situation. And I really don't know. I know this kind of sounds corny and not exactly sure what I'm trying to say here, I guess, but don't let anything in this world bring you down to the point where you're considering changing your life or not going on with your life. That's not a solution to things. Bad things happen to everybody. Bad things happen to good people. Bad things happen to bad people. Bad things happen. It's part of life. The difference is how you deal with things and how you get through things and who you get through things with. And I'm concerned that some people may be getting too down on themselves and too down on their situation and not looking at it for what it is. You can have a bad day at school. You can have a bad year at school. Lord knows I have. You can have bad things happen in your life. You can financially struggle. You can have your website shut down. You can have physical problems, health problems. All of these things can be overcome. So I know this has nothing to do with hacking. I know this is, you know, binary revolution, all hacking all the time. But I wanted to get this word in there. Bad things happen, but there are people in this world that care. There are people in this world that will help you through. Sometimes surprising people. Sometimes people you don't know. And a lot of people in the forums are there, will help. I know everyone in DDP is willing to help when stuff goes on and bad things happen. So don't ever give up on life or give up on things that are going on. And I guess that's really, I don't even know, I'm not going to come up with some wise saying, and I'm not trying to, but anybody listening to the show that is having stuff like that go on in your life, just go through it. You will get through it. You will work through it. We will help you. People will help you get through it. So I'm not pointing that to anybody in specific. I'm just throwing that out there, and I guess that's really all I have to say. But as long as we're on that topic, I'm also going to segue, I guess, right into the shouts. Dakota, did you want to shout out to anybody?
Yeah, shout out to Mute.
Mute?
Most definitely.
Yep. Mute has mentioned that he might actually be giving a presentation. I think he said something about that.
Really?
Yeah, I think. I don't know what about, and I haven't talked to him in a couple days now, but I'll find out about that. But I'm going to give out shout-outs to In Theory. He was actually going to be on the show this week, and when he's ready, well, he'll be on the show, you know, whenever he wants to in the future as well. So I'm going to shout out to In Theory and his family and send my condolences. I'm sorry for what's going on in your life. I know bad things are happening, but you know how to get in touch with me. You know I'm here. You need anything, give me a call. That's pretty much the show for this week. Dakota, do you have any other shouts you wanted to give out?
Yeah, shout out to Lucky225, everybody who used to call the SoCal.
You were pretty much single-handedly the SoCal, weren't you?
Yeah, me, Lucky, Lacutus, a few other people. Scott.
And still are.
I got shut down, actually.
Oh.
Yeah,
oh.
Horrible thing.
I wish there was another one that we could count on regularly.
Yeah, shout out to Lacutus, too, for hooking up the VoIP bridge he got going now.
All right.
Voice over IP, hooked up on Asterisk and everything.
Good deal. All right, well, I guess we're going to close it up. Our time is up, and we got to stream very soon. So if you have feedback, I mentioned it earlier, but again, the email is letters@benrev.com. And we're going to close today, the closing music, since tomorrow is the opening of Matrix Revolutions, the third and final Matrix movie. We're going to close out with a group called Matrix, the song called Digital. And that's it. So, Decoder, tell everybody how we end the show.
Until next week.
Same hack time.
Same hack channel. Hurry, 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 hurry